And that's it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back again in 2 weeks. What are you doing here at this time? You've missed the whole show. I've just done the whole show and you turn up right at the very end. What time do you call this? It's insane. Oh, does this mean I've got to do the whole show right from the start again? Unbelievable. Right, fine, we'll start again. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me, my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and it's great to have you here. Merry Christmas. Do you want to do the interactive bit? Okay, we're doing it, are we? Right, fine, go on then. What's that over there? Is it? Are you sure? Let me have a look. Oh yeah, so it is. And scene. Well, we've done that, now we can do something else. I don't think I've got any housekeeping. Oh, no, I have. I've got loads of housekeeping. Before the wife gets back, I've got to do the washing up. I've got to do the hoovering. I've got to make the beds. I've got to sit around and watch TV for 5 hours, because that's what the wife does when I'm out gardening. Probably. Let's start with this.
I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Boys and girls, this episode's Christmas Not So Classic is from the Pet Shop Boys. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the Pet Shop Boys. If you're not, you're probably just very young. The Pet Shop Boys were massive throughout the 80s. Originally, the band was formed in 1981, but they had their first big hit in 1985, and that was West End Girls. Do you know West End Girls? Sometimes you're better off dead. You've got a gun in your hand. It's pointed at your head. You think you're mad. Too unstable. Kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police. There's a madman around. That got to number one in the UK, and it also got to number one in a lot of other countries, including the US and Canada. Then, a couple of years later, they had a Christmas number one with Always On My Mind. And I'm going to talk briefly about that, because it's such a great song. Have a listen to a bit of it. Here it comes.
Maybe I can treat you quite as good as I should. Maybe I
So they were on this TV show in 1987. It was called Love Me Tender, and it was shown as the 10-year anniversary of Elvis Presley's death. And a lot of artists went on and did cover versions of some of his hits. And the one the Pet Shop Boys did, the one we just heard, it went down so well that the Pet Shop Boys were like, oh, maybe we should release it as a single. So they did. They released it as a single, and it got to number one for 4 weeks. It was the song that stopped Fairy Tale of New York being the Christmas number one all those years ago. Yeah, nearly 40 years, can you believe? Now, while I'm on the subject, a couple of things about Always On My Mind. It is personally one of my favourite love songs. I absolutely love it. I think it's a fantastic song. But it was originally recorded by, keeping on the Christmas theme, Brenda Lee. Yeah, she recorded it first, but she wasn't the first one to release it. Some other chap whose name I can't remember was. He released it. She released it like a couple of months later. It wasn't a massive hit. Then Elvis released it even later. The same year, though. I think he released it in October. And that was like one of his biggest hits of the 70s. Yeah, so that's the version I was most familiar with. And I always thought that was the original. Turns out it wasn't. A lot of people had had a go the same year before he released it. And then obviously Willie Nelson had a big hit with it. Anyway, that's enough about Always On My Mind. So the Pet Shop Boys were massive. They had 42 top 40 hits, 22 top 10 hits, and 4 number ones. In the US, they had 5 US top 10 hits, and one of those was a number one. So their popularity peaked in the late 80s and started to wane, really, sort of mid-90s. So they had a good 10 years at the top, but they were still popular, still very popular. And in 1997, they recorded a single for their fan club, and it was called It Doesn't Often Snow at Christmas. Let me play a bit for you. Christmas is love. So like I said, this was originally just for the fan club. And to be honest, I don't know when I first heard it. I'm not sure at all. I know I've heard it a few times. You don't hear it often. That's why it's a not so classic. But yeah, I've definitely heard it a few times. I'm going to go through the lyrics with you because I think there's a reason this is a not so classic. So it goes, Christmas is not all it's cracked up to be. Well, I can tell you as a Christmas fanatic that that's bollocks because I love Christmas and it is all it's cracked up to be. Families fighting around a plastic tree. Well, one, we don't have a plastic tree, we have a real tree. And two, my family don't really fight, especially not now I've got the girls. They might bicker, it's not fighting, not like a proper fisticuffs fight. Nothing on the TV that you'd want to see. Well, that's also bollocks because the viewing figures on Christmas Day are some of the biggest viewing figures of the year. So absolute rubbish again. And it's hardly ever snowing the way it's meant to be. Well, yeah, that's true. It doesn't snow in the UK much. And then it says, like in White Christmas, year after year, Bing Crosby, are you listening to me? When this was recorded, he'd been dead for over 15 years. I don't think he's listening. I do not think he was paying any attention to you. And then the chorus is, it doesn't often snow at Christmas the way it's meant to do, but I'll still have a glow at Christmas because I'll be with you. And that's nice. The sentiments are nice. But don't spend the whole first verse shitting on Christmas just because it makes for good song lyrics, because it doesn't. Next bit. The Christmas message was long ago lost. Well, you know, if you're talking about the Jesus aspect, yeah, I suppose people don't focus on that much. But at the same time, you do still get a lot of people doing nice things at Christmas. Now it's all about shopping and how much things cost. Maybe. I don't think it really is, though. I think the whole commercialisation of Christmas is plateaued. And it plateaued many, many, many years ago. You know, Charlie Brown Christmas, released in the 60s, that's all about commercialisation. That was 60 years ago. So don't start giving me that either, Pet Shop Boys. And then he says, it's meant to be goodwill as well as synthetic fun. And what is this year's festive number one? Well, that is important. Although not as important as it used to be these days with the old charts. And then it's the chorus again. And that's the song. And yeah, it's got a little bit of a Christmassy vibe to it. Have another listen. Have a listen to the chorus. See, it's a bit Christmassy, but not massively Christmassy. I'm just disappointed in it, really, because I really like the Pet Shop Boys. They were never like my favourite band, but they were always a band that I respected and liked, and I still do. They're still recording. Interesting fact, they've never had a gap of more than 4 years between albums, and they've been going for 40 years. Can you believe that? Yeah. Anyway, so this song, like I said, was originally a fan club only single in 1997, but then in 2009 they released it as part of an EP, and it also had the songs All Over the World, which is the Pet Shop Boys one, My Girl by Madness, which is a lovely song if you don't know it, and also Viva La Vida, which is a Coldplay song. So that was on the EP, and it reached number 40 on the UK charts, which was the last time the Pet Shop Boys hit the top 40 with a single release. So that was what, 16 years ago now. And then in 2024, they released a video. Yeah, it was just like a lyric video with the lyrics. Well, the lyrics, you know what a lyric video is. Don't have to explain it to you. But before then, there wasn't an official video for it with the single release, which seems crazy, really. Bearing in mind 2009, that's sort of like around the height of the music video, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, one last thing. At the very end of it, you get this.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah, so that's Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's not a great song, but it is a song. Now let's do this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Narita, Japan? There you can find a naughty and nice love hotel called the Hotel Chapel Christmas, designed for adults only. The property has a design concept of Christmas 365 days a year, and guests will find Santa Claus statues on site. It is a multicolored Christmas cartoon wonderland meant for trysts between consenting adults. At Hotel Chapel Christmas, you can find red and green linens next to leopard print upholstery and portraits of Santa Claus side by side with massage chairs. It's that kind of place. About 3 hours away is the Santa Hills, located in Naso Gun, which offers a campground and cottages. It also has a gallery cafe and a Christmas store. The cottages are all handmade by the staff. There are a total of 20 cottages that can accommodate nearly 200 people. They are all unique and Christmas themed. The Santa Claus house in the woods is made in the image of the house where Santa Claus lives. Others include reindeer, holly, bell, fireplace, and a treehouse called Emil. On the weekends, there are plenty of events such as making snow globes. There are also sleds, slides, and Christmas trees. Around Japan, there are several year-round Christmas stores, and they have names like Very Merry and Christmas Land, and this is especially surprising when Christmas is not a holiday in Japan. In one of the stores, called Christmas Toys, there is a museum of vintage-style tin plate toys, fire trucks, streetcars, zeppelins, submarines, rockets, robots, and cymbal-smashing monkeys. In the early 20th century, Japan exported huge numbers of these toys to countries around the world, and this museum traces that history, displaying some 3,000 antique toys made between the 1890s and the 1960s. And there's one more notable thing about this museum. In 1987, American animator John Lasseter visited and was inspired to create a short film titled Tin Toy at the Pixar Animation Studios. This led to the Toy Story series. And the Japanese Toy Museum, mentioned in Toy Story 2, was inspired by this Tin Toy Museum in Yokohama. Now, if you know of another inspiring festive location for overactive adults, you bear them for Jack, and he'll strip them down for me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
Great work again from Bob. And the funny thing is, I've actually covered Christmas in Japan on, it was only my fourth episode. Yeah, that's 5 years ago. And I didn't know anything of that. Didn't know none of that at all. So great work, Bob. He's going to be back in a bit, but now we're doing this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Here it is, boys and girls, your favourite part of the show. Test your knowledge about all things Christmas, although it's not all things. This episode is mainly about carols and films. Last episode's results. This is very interesting. It's such a broad spread. With only a measly 4 points, we have my self-appointed best friend, who I've never met, great guy, Chris Kavanagh, the beautiful Shelley Arnold, my dear friend, and also Pamela Wootton, who loves to hear her name. So let's say it again. Pamela Wootton. They only got four. With 6 points was Frank Talley, John Gomez, and Nicola McLean. 7 points, Lauren Morley. With 8 points equaling me, I'm a bit annoyed about this, 5 people equaled me. What's that all about? 5 of you. Don't come around here thinking you're my equal, okay? Right, where was I? Oh yeah, Benji Pearson, Mary Pulte, Jack Unverfirth, Adam Parker from the Merry Britsmas podcast. If you're not listening to the latest episode, just come out about a week ago, blinding it was. And Martin Goodman, who's back on form again. Well done, Martin. And lording it up again with 9 points, this episode's top scorer and officially the most annoying listener for beating me again is Mickey Mike Westphal. Yeah. Congratulations, Mike, for being better than everyone. Mike's back with his podcast. I mentioned it last episode. I'm doing it now. When I record this, the second episode has just come out. When this episode comes out, I'd imagine he's up to his third episode. Yeah, it's called The Advent Calendar House, and he talks about Christmas specials, and it's great. I've been on it a couple of times, well, three times, actually. I'm not on any of the episodes of the latest season, so they probably won't be as good as the ones I was on before. So check it out, Advent Calendar House. Not yet. Wait till the end of this episode. We haven't even done the quiz yet. Goodness me. Cool your heels. Right, let's see if Mickey Mike Westphal can keep up his massive scores. Question number one. What do the singers demand to be brought to them in We Wish You a Merry Christmas? They're out there demanding it, saying, bring it out, whatever trouble. But what? What are they demanding? Question number two. What is thought to be the first Christmas song to mention Santa Claus? Any ideas? It's a little bit tricky, that one. And it's thought to be as well. What's that about? It's thought to be. Who's it thought by? What was it thought by me? I thought it was Santa Baby. Yeah, if I thought that, it's thought to be by me. Do I get it right? No, I don't get it right. I do not get it right. That's not what I thought anyway. I know what I thought it was. Question number three. Easy one. What was the gift on the third day of Christmas? According to the song. Not just, because they haven't said according to the song. They've just put, what was the gift of the third day of Christmas? It's according to the song. On the third day of Christmas. I think I've had that question before in previous episodes. Don't bother me. Okay. Right. Question number something. Who plays Matthew Broderick's new neighbour in Deck the Halls? Okay. Now, I want the male. I'll tell you the actress who played his wife. That was Kristen Chenoweth. But I'm talking about the man who moves in. Okay. Okay. Question number whatever. What is the full name of the movie, The Family... Is it? I've got four options for you. The Family Affair, The Family Christmas, The Family Rock, or The Family Stone. Which one is that? Okay, next one. Who directed the 2000 movie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Who directed it? Star Jim Carrey. Does that help you? Probably not. Okay, next question. Who plays Jude Law's love interest in The Holiday? Okay. And here we go. What is the name of Chevy Chase's character in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? I will accept his nickname. No, I won't, actually. No, I want his full name. Proper name. Next one. Which classic Christmas song features in the film Meet Me in St. Louis? I think that's quite easy as well, isn't it? Yeah? No? Whatever. And the last one, number 10. Who directed It's a Wonderful Life? You've got two questions about directors there. Did you get either of them? Well, we're going to find out now. Here's your answers, boys and girls. Okay, so question number one. What do the singers demand to be brought to them in We Wish You a Merry Christmas? Well, they're all singing, so bring us some figgy pudding. You knew that, didn't you? I hope you did. Okay, question number two. What is thought to be the first Christmas song to mention Santa Claus? Well, the answer they've got here is Up on the Housetop. Yeah, you know the one? Up on the housetop, reindeer paws, out jumps good old Santa Claus, doing a thing on your roof, something probably that rhymes with roof. I don't know. Yeah, that's... And I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. I know that song's in the public domain, so that's something. Number three. What was the gift on the third day of Christmas? Well, it was... Socks. Yeah, socks. Not even particularly good ones either. Like black ones. And it looked like they might have been used. They didn't have any tags on them. They looked like they'd been used a bit. Oh, hang on, no, it's three French hens. Three French hens. Sorry, close. I was close. Next one. Who plays Matthew Broderick's new neighbour in Deck the Halls? Easy one, that, isn't it? Danny DeVito. Now, that film gets a pretty bad rap, mainly because it's crap. But I must have seen that six or seven times. Maybe not all the way through six or seven times, but I've seen it a lot. And I hate to admit it, that's one of the Christmas films I've seen more than others. Not on purpose, I don't think, but it just seems to be on a lot. Anyway, next one. What is the full name of the movie? The Family Affair, Christmas, Rock or Stone? Well, it's The Family Stone. And I tell you what, I was really keen to see that film. I remember it had been out for a while, and then eventually it was on either Netflix or Amazon. I was like, oh, cool, we'll watch that. I put it on, did not care for it one bit. I did not like it. I was totally unimpressed. Next one. Who directed the 2000 movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas? That was, of course, Richie Cunningham from Happy Days. Although I will also accept Ron Howard. Okay, next one. Who plays Jude Law's love interest in The Holiday? Well, that was Cameron Diaz, of course. Yeah. It's funny that, isn't it? You've got Jude Law and Cameron Diaz, two of the beautiful people, yeah? Kate Winslet and Jack Black, one of the beautiful people, and Jack Black. I wonder what she thought. She thought, Cameron Diaz gets Jude Law and I get Jack... Is that what you think of me? No offence to Jack Black. I mean, you know, he's got a certain something about him. Has he? I don't know. Next one. What is the name of Chevy Chase's character in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Okay, well, they've got here. You ready? They've actually got Clark W. Griswold Jr. Now, really, I was looking for Clark Griswold. I'm not accepting Sparky. You ain't getting it for that. Not even half a point. Nope. Okay, next one. Which classic Christmas song features in the film Meet Me in St. Louis? Well, that is, of course, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And the last one. Who directed It's a Wonderful Life? Well, that was Frank Capra. There you go. There is your 10 questions. And do you know what? I managed to get all 10 this week. I will admit that Up on the Housetop was a bit of a stab, but I couldn't think of any other song that was before then. So, yeah, quite proud of myself. Let's see how you guys got on. You know what to do. Pause the podcast. Send me a score. It's very simple. Do it. Do it now. Do it. Right, when I just said do it then, you should have already paused it. And then you like unpaused it. And I'm saying do it. And you're thinking, don't tell me to do it. I've already paused it. Have you paused it yet? Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Let's do this. You know, every time I do this segment, I think, why am I even bothering? Why am I bothering? These jokes are just so bad. They're just so bad. Pointless it is. Okay, I'm doing it anyway, though. Why shouldn't you invite a turkey to spend Christmas with your family? Because it uses foul language. Well, it's over. Move on.
Do you hear what I hear?
There are times when we hear the complaint at the tiki bar that we abuse alcohol. Nothing could be further from the truth. We love alcohol. We would never abuse it. You know, sometimes a "do you hear what I hear" moment happens when you least expect it. I had thought that with it being the birthday of our revolutionary divorce this weekend, I might find something colonial and maybe founding fatherish to use. However, I was reading an article about popular Christmas movies in the UK, and there were several posted comments in response. One reader described how he had watched Gremlins. This individual made the statement, "Watched it for the first time in Yonks last Christmas. A classic. Long before Baby Yoda, there was Gizmo." Now, I loved his enthusiasm, and nothing registered out of the ordinary. At first, I kept going through the comments and read another one. "I love the Chevy Chase Christmas film, even though I haven't watched it in Yonks." This time, it hit me in the head. Yonks? What the heck is that? The only thing comparable I could think of is Zoinks, which is what Shaggy from Scooby-Doo would say whenever he was scared or surprised. But that was kind of a made-up word. And well, I guess Yonks is fabricated as well. Looking into its origin led me down a rabbit hole of Cockney rhyming slang, spoonerisms, and donkey's ears. Yonks doesn't have a clear link to any other words in the British language. It's an informal term, typically used to express that something has not happened or is not going to happen for a considerable period of time. You can see an advertisement right now that says, It might be Yonks till Christmas, but concert tickets are now on sale for a December concert. Yonks till Christmas translates to a long time until Christmas, the meaning being that Christmas is far from July. The first printed reference to the word Yonks is from 1916, but its true root is unclear. One theory suggests that it might be related to donkey's years. Donkey's years being a play on donkey's ears, which are long, and thus associating a donkey's years to being a long time. Now, how we got from a donkey's ears to donkey's years is uncertain, and all of this seems to derive from Cockney rhyming slang. Rhyming slang came out of the mid-19th century in the East End of London. It was used by criminals and traveling salesmen. They would take a common word and use a rhyming phrase of 2 to 3 words to disguise it. So, for example, frog and toad would mean the main road, or apples and pears was used to say stairs. No one knows why rhyming slang came about, but it was either used as a coded language, so you could talk openly in front of a customer and they had no idea what you were saying, or a means to distinguish outsiders, or anyone not from the East End, or as a way for criminals to confuse the police. Whatever the reason, you can see how donkey ears might have been used to say years, but that still gets us only halfway. How do we get to Yonks? This is where spoonerism comes in. A spoonerism is a verbal mistake when a speaker transposes the initial letters of 2 or more words. So someone speaking quickly might have been meaning to say donkey's ears and yet accidentally said Yonkey's deers. Who knows? Maybe it was done deliberately as an abbreviated form of backslang. Whatever the reason, you can see how maybe the onk from donkey became prefixed with the Y of years to create the term Yonks. All I know is that in the US, this would meet that East End test. You can say Yonks to our face and we won't know what you're talking about. You can clearly identify us as outsiders, and if you want to use it as a means to scam us, it could work. In fact, we'd probably end up feeling like an eel wrasse. Oops, spoonerism. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Do you know, that's funny, because when he said Yonks the first time, I thought, yeah, that's got to be donkey's years and years. Yeah, I don't say Yonks much. It feels like it's more of a kid's thing to say Yonks. You do hear it a bit though, definitely. Yeah, Yonks. Great one. Boys and girls, if you're not listening to Bob's podcast, what's wrong with you? He's just celebrated the 2nd anniversary of their show, and they did their 2-part awards episode, and the second part just dropped, and my girls are on it. So it's worth listening to that episode just to hear my girls, I think. So check it out. It's festive foreign film fans, and it's great. I love every episode. I'm sure you will too. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Okay, so that jingle was a little bit misleading, because this is not a version of A Christmas Carol. It's not at all. Not even remotely. What was happening was, do you remember a couple of episodes ago I did that episode where it was a radio show that Jimmy Stewart was in, and I explained on the episode that that radio show, which was like a cowboy western version of A Christmas Carol, that was actually made into a live action episode, and I was trying to find it, and while I was looking for it online, this popped up, which was something I was not aware of at all, and I thought I'd talk about it, and it is called Mr. Kruger's Christmas. And this was released on the 21st of December on NBC in 1980. Yeah, so making it just under 45 years old at the time of recording. And it stars Jimmy Stewart as Mr. Kruger. And I'm going to tell you the story. Here it goes. So, Mr. Kruger is a custodian or janitor of an apartment building. And it opens with him sweeping the floors. And this guy comes past with a Christmas tree and it's like dropped a load of needles, so it means he has to sweep up again. But he's okay about that. He's like being really friendly to the guy with his Christmas tree, trying to make conversation, but the guy's in a bit of a rush and he leaves. And then he heads out into the street and he's wishing everyone on the street a Merry Christmas. Mainly most people are ignoring him though. And he goes up to this store and there's a little girl looking in the store window with her mum looking at the toys. And he's like, oh, would you like Santa Claus to buy you that for Christmas? And her mum's like, oh, come away from the strange man. And the mum sort of drags the little girl off. And at this point, you get the idea that Mr. Kruger's a friendly guy, but he's a little bit lonely. And he walks past a brass band and they're playing Christmas tunes and they're collecting money, but he doesn't give them any. He sort of looks in there like a bit sheepish. And then he goes up to this shop window and he's looking in and it's like a tailor's. And he's looking in this window and as he looks in, he imagines himself in there and he's being fitted out for a new suit and a nice new hat and that. And there's a bit where himself in the shop bows to this lady and takes his hat off. And then it cuts to him outside the shop, bowing and taking his hat off as if he's imagining himself. And as he does that, someone comes out of the tailor's and looks at him and drops a banknote in his hat. So he's like, oh, okay. Puts his hat back on. Then he walks back to the brass band, takes his hat off, puts the banknote in their collection tin, which I thought was nice. And then he goes to buy a Christmas tree. It's only a little one, about 3 foot, if that. And the guy that's selling the Christmas trees reminded me, because the way he was dressed and the way he acts as well, he's only in it very briefly, but it really reminded me of Christmas Again, which is the Christmas film that I recommend every year that I'm sure most of you probably wouldn't enjoy, but I really love, about a Christmas tree salesman. Yeah, he buys his tree. There's a family there buying their tree and he's watching them as they're buying theirs. You can see he's sort of making them feel a bit sad. Then he goes home and his cat's there and his cat's name is George. And I'm wondering if they named the cat George because of his character in It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if they did, but made me think about it. As soon as he said it, I thought, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And he puts on some music, puts on a final Christmas album. And then he looks at this black and white photo. He says something about, oh, Merry Christmas, Martha, which was obviously his dead wife. And he nods off and he's dreaming of conducting a huge choir. And this short film was actually produced by the Church of Latter-day Saints. And the choir he's conducting is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Yeah, and he's there conducting this huge choir to the tune Sleigh Ride, and they're all singing that. And then it cuts with him riding in a sleigh, and there's a bunch of the choir with him, and there's a load of other people from the choir running around, and there's loads of kids sledging, and then he's there making a snowman with the kids, and they have a bit of a snowball fight, and then it cuts back to the choir, and he's there finishing the song, and they're all clapping. And he wakes up in his apartment, and he can hear carol singers. So he lives in the basement flat, and there's this little window at street level, and he opens the window and he's like, hi there, I'll play it for you. This is what he says.
Down here.
Hello. What are you doing down there?
I live here.
Oh.
Wouldn't you like to come in? It's warm and I'll make you some chocolate.
And they talk amongst themselves and they seem a bit reluctant, but they do go in. And as they're coming in, he goes and starts sprucing up his Christmas tree with one single tinsel garland. And he starts imagining if his apartment was like a real posh place. And he's got a maid there, and the maid goes to answer the door, and this other posh lady comes in, and he goes up to her in his imagination, and he kisses her hand. And do you remember earlier, like the bit where he was taking his hat off, like in his imagination? Well, in this one, it cuts from the posh version of him that he's imagining to the real version of him kissing the hand of one of the carol singer ladies, and it's really awkward. And they're like, oh, okay. And they sing the first Noel, and there's a little girl there, turns out her name's Clarissa, and she goes around looking around his apartment and she's looking at the nativity scene. And he's like, oh, you know, do you like the nativity scene? I'm trying to talk to her, trying to be friendly and that. And they're all a bit awkward and they just want to leave, so they just start singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And they all scoot off back up the stairs and he's left there on his own. And he's like, oh, I thought you were going to stay for chocolate. And but they've gone. They've gone. So then he goes back to his tree and he gets out a string of lights and he's putting those on. And again, he goes off in his imagination and he imagines decorating this huge Christmas tree, an outside Christmas tree with loads of people around. Turns out it was in the Temple Square in Utah. And there's loads of people dancing around. They're kind of like ice dancers, but they're not on skates, but they're dressed like ice dancers. And they're all dancing around the tree. And the little girl, Clarissa, she's there as well in his imagination. She's putting the star on top of the tree. And then he wakes up to this clanking noise. And the clanking noise is a lady from upstairs called Mrs. McLean. And it was written and produced by a chap called Michael McLean. So I guess he gave his name to one of the characters. And Mr. Kruger's like, oh, she's cold upstairs. That's why she's banging the pipes. I'll have to go and stoke the furnace. So he goes off and stokes the furnace. Then when he comes back, he notices that the little girl has left her gloves there. And he's like, oh. So he decides to put them as decorations on the Christmas tree. So there they are, just sitting there. And at the base of the tree, he's got the nativity scene that the little girl was playing with earlier. And he has a look at it, and he's sort of moving the bits around. He's like, hmm. And at this point, he imagines himself again somewhere else, and it's at the birth of Jesus Christ. So he's walking through all these people that are there to witness the birth, and everyone's kneeling. He sees the baby, and he does a speech. And I'm going to play it for you. Have a listen to this.
Thank you for everything you've done for me. As long as I can remember, you've been right by my side. I'll never forget when you walked with me right in those first few hours after I lost Martha. I have always been able to count on you when I felt dark inside and when I... And you were right there, right every time. Right there. Even when I didn't feel good about myself, I knew that you cared for me enough, and that made me feel better. Like the time I got mad with Mabel Huntington because she broke her pipes on purpose, just so she could have somebody to see while I came up and fixed them for her. Boy, I hollered at her, like, boy, I hollered real loud. But then I got to thinking. You love Mabel just as much as you love me. And I should treat her the way you'd want me to. I believe I talked to you about that at the time. I started visiting her and we became friends. And I saw her almost every day until the day she died. I love you. You're my closest, my finest friend. And that means that I can hold my head high wherever I go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Then, back in his apartment, and there's a knock at the door, and he opens the door, and it's Clarissa and her mummy, and they've come because she realised she's left her gloves there. And he's like, well, look, let me give you this. And he gives her the little ornament of the baby Jesus from his nativity scene. And then Clarissa leaves with her mum, but then she comes back and sticks her head around the corner and says, why don't you come and sing with us? And the mum's like, actually, we do need a good bass for our choir. And it's funny because he starts doing a deeper voice. Like,
I certainly give it a try.
Which is really funny. I like that. And so he leaves with them and she's like, oh, and we'll be going for turkey dinner after. Please say you'll join us. Which is really nice. And then they're walking down the street and the little girl says, I love you, Mr. Kruger. And they start holding hands and the three of them walk off down the street together. And that's how it ends. And I really liked it. I did. One of the things about Christmas these days is everyone's saying, oh, it's all commercialised and the true origins of Christmas are forgotten, the baby Jesus and that. And it is true. There's no doubt about that. Many, many Christmas films don't mention the birth of Jesus at all. And this was one of the things that drew Jimmy Stewart to the project. I think you should check it out. It's about 25 minutes long. It's on YouTube. Shouldn't have any trouble finding it. Mr. Kruger's Christmas. Give it a shot. I think you might like it. Yeah. That was not this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. Now we're going to do this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is a podcast that I've recommended many, many times before. Now, when I started this podcast, I used to have Robin, my oldest, on the show quite frequently. And then Juno, when she was talking a bit more, she'd come and be on the show. And It became really popular with a lot of listeners, so I decided to do a separate podcast with the girls. And their podcast is called I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. Their podcast is just coming up to its 200th episode. 200 episodes. Yeah, I'm a measly 130 odd, and they've reached 200 episodes. So I think you should check it out. I think it's lovely. Obviously, they're my kids, so I'm going to feel that way. But there's some really funny bits in it that I think everyone would enjoy. Each episode's only about 10 minutes. It comes out every week on a Tuesday morning. Well, I say Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday morning in the UK. We miss the odd episode because, well, my girls are so young. I mean, when they started the show, Juno was only 2 years old. Robin was just turned 5. So, yeah, listening to the old episodes and listening to them now, there's a lot of difference. Now, because it's their 200th episode, we're trying to get listeners to send in messages, and it is not easy. You ask people to send in messages and stuff, and it doesn't often happen. So I'm asking you, please, if you listen to the girls' podcast, if you have listened to it in the past, please send them a short message, just wishing them congratulations on their 200th episode, which is no mean feat for two children so very, very young. Please send a message. Doesn't have to be too long, just a few words would be nice. We'll play it in their 200th episode. You've got just over a week to send it in. I say do it now. If you don't want to record your voice and you just want to send a message in, by all means, just email me a message and we can play that. I'd really appreciate it, and I know the girls would appreciate it as well, and it'd be nice to hear as many messages as we could in the 200th episode. Now, I'm just going to play you a bit now from one of the episodes. This episode was just over a year ago, and it's always stuck in my head. It's kind of sad, but also kind of happy at the end. But it sort of gives you a taste of what their podcast is like. Have a listen to this.
Today at school was a sad day. At lunchtime, I was sat on the lonely bench. The whole lunchtime, the lonely bench is a type of bench that friends are supposed to go walk past. And if you're lonely, you can sit there, and sometimes friends would go up. But today, nobody went up to play with me, and I tried asking my friends, but nobody said yes. And it was just so sad, and it was the whole lunchtime. I was seconded in for lunch, so I had to go in for lunch, and after lunch, I tried asking for some friends to play with, and then I just had to sit on the lonely bench again. Then it just wasn't a nice day. It was just so sad. And then the year I was renting, and then I knew it was near for the year ones and year twos to go in, and then I just sat there for a bit, and then when I saw her getting the bell ready for the year ones and year twos to go, I ran to where I lined up, and I lined up. And sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. But when I was going out, Mummy was there to pick me up, and I gave her a big hug and told her what happened. And then when I got home, I had a lovely sister that cared lots about me and loved me. And I had a mummy and a daddy and a cat called Fonzie that loved me. And they all cared about me. And sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. And it's the truth. And I hope you all have a good day. And then that's about my bad day at school.
Yeah, every time I hear that, it really pulls at my heartstrings. But it was only once it ever happened. It was just a bad day, and these things do happen. So I don't feel too sorry for Juno. She's got plenty of mates. She's doing fine. But I thought you might enjoy listening to that. Anyway, please, please, please send your message to play on the girls' 200th episode. And also, don't forget to send me your quiz scores. Yeah, do it at the same time. Why not? Go crazy. So if you want to check out the girls' show, it's I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com. Well, you've got to do that, haven't you? Because you've got to A, send me a message for the girls, and B, give me your quiz scores. Or you can go on the website, that is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I will be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Forgive me, Mr. Claus. I'm afraid I've made a terrible mess of your holiday.
Bumpy sleigh ride, Jack.